Oh, I love doing that. And children's ministry restarts today. So we need extra volunteers, Dream Team members to be a part. See Janine Harper. Yesterday we had an incredible kids ministry day.
Oh, it was a blowout.
One or two kids were out. It was amazing.
It was fun.
And they just had a blast. They even had a big water slide thing that was really, really cool. So way to go, Janine and the kids' Dream Team.
If we would have saw that after Revelation Wellness yesterday, I may have slid down that thing. It was so hot yesterday morning. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it was good.
You guys had a great time.
We had five ladies come out.
Yeah.
And I just
seven of you.
Well, with Beth and I was seven.
You guys count.
Well, yeah,
absolutely.
But it was fun. We had such a great time. Thank you, Beth. And Miss Pam was out. Miss Gina was here. We were so excited.
It's a lot
of fun.
Yeah, it looked like you guys were having a great time.
We're not too sore, although I am kind of.
Yes. So if you, okay.
I kind of hobbled up here. Not really. I probably will later.
Small groups are coming. We're really excited about our small group term that's going to start August 30th. And we can't wait. This is going to be a great time.
Yeah.
And if you haven't signed up yet, want to sign up, want to lead a group, want to be a part of a group, want to host a group, even online. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of groups online this time too. So look forward to that. Can't wait to be getting back with many of you.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way it's going to work, it's going to be kind of neat. The first week, we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting. How many of you think this might be a good season to set aside some time to pray and fast?
Yes.
I absolutely feel a call from the Lord to do that. Mm-hmm. So every Monday through Friday of the week of August 30th through September 6th, Tracy and I will be here 7 a.m. each morning leading an hour of prayer together. Part of that will just be a time of private, just seeking the Lord, each of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're encouraging you to fast however the Lord might call you on that. So I think our country needs it. I think we need it.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of reasons to be praying and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And the first Wednesday of September, we're going to have what we call a solemn assembly right here. And Joe and Suzanne will be here with us leading in worship. And it'll be a lot like a harp and bowl. We'll be praying. We'll be worshiping. Mm-hmm. It'll be just a beautiful evening of crying out to God together. So come and be a part of that. And then the following Wednesday, we will be introducing our new term of the Wednesday night gathering small group. We're calling it Standing Strong in Difficult Times.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have several of our gifted teachers teaching on different topics. It's going to be powerful.
Yeah.
So that'll start up that following Wednesday, which will be September the 9th. So, and then soon after that, Saturday, September 19th, my dear friend Dr. David Thomas is going to be teaching a Revelation seminar from 9 to 3 on that Saturday. You don't want to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be very, very interesting, I can guarantee you.
Yes.
So, honey, thanks for joining me.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome this morning. And I'm excited to be able to share God's word with you today. Yes, we're going to do that at the end. So thank you. Hey, you know what? I always enjoy starting with a little bit of humor. And I love preacher jokes, believe it or not. I love preacher jokes or heaven jokes. And if you got a good one, just send it my way. Who knows? I might use it one Sunday morning. I want to tell you the story about this new preacher who he'd just begun his first sermon, right? He's preaching his first sermon. He's so excited to preach his first sermon. He's graduated from seminary. He took that important preaching class, and now here's his first opportunity in front of the church. He's a little bit nervous. He's a little bit nervous, to be quite honest. And about 10 minutes into the sermon, his mind just goes blank. I mean, just goes blank. And I remember how it was when I first started preaching it. You know, I tell my kids, they say, "Do you ever get nervous, Dad?" I'm like, "Yeah, every Sunday. But, you know, his mind just went blank. So he didn't know what to do. And he remembered that his professor in seminary had taught him an easy little trick, you know. And it was simply this: just repeat your last point. Just repeat your last point, and as you're doing that, you know, then where you're going will come to you. You know, you'll remember that next point that you need to make. So he thought, man, I got to do that. So he gave it a try, and here was his last point: "Behold, I come quickly. So he did it. He said it, and his mind was still blank. So he wasn't sure quite what to do. So he thought, well, I'll try it again. You know, I mean, behold, I come quickly. Still nothing. His mind was just totally blank. And he thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So one more time, with all kinds of enthusiasm and all kinds of, you know, I mean, just powerfully, he says it one more time. Behold, I come quickly. And he's speaking and gesturing with such force that he falls forward, knocks the pulpit to one side, trips over the flowers that were at the front, and he falls into the lap of an elderly little saint, a little lady who was sitting on the front row of the church. And the young preacher, he's so embarrassed, he begins to just apologize profusely, and the little old lady speaks up and says, "That's all right, young man. It was my fault. I should have gotten out of the way. You told me 3 times you were coming quickly. I should have got out of the way." Come on, Smitty, you know that was pretty funny. Come on, he's grinning at me at least. He's grinning at me. So anyway, I want to talk about the Lord and his coming and the end times and what's happening in our world, because I know a lot of us are wondering. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' strong name that you'd open all of our hearts to be so receptive to your word. That, Lord, our hearts would just be like a fertile ground. Like ground that's just been freshly tilled and prepared for the sowing of seeds for a garden that will bring forth incredible fruitfulness. May our hearts be that way before you. May your word be like the seeds planted, and may a great harvest come forth as we receive your word today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. 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 So are we in the end times? Are we in the end times? I think that question, if you have any kind of Christian background, any kind of Christian understanding, if you've ever read the Word of God, you probably have asked that in the midst of quarantines and pandemics and protests and violence. And I just want to say, you know, I think we might be at the beginning of the end. And I know for some of you, you're like, what? Yeah, I think we might be knocking on the door. I don't think we're fully there yet, but I definitely think whatever time this is that we're living in, it's a time of preparation for our souls. I want to show you, so we've entitled the sermon, Running with the Horses, and this is part 2. If you didn't catch last week, go back, it's in the archives, okay? But 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Very simple little test that the early church would use in regard to whether something was true and authentic or a deception the enemy was trying to bring. And then he says this, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now there's a word that kind of scares us, the word Antichrist. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Now, there's an interesting statement. Even now is already in the world. This is written over 2,000 years ago. The spirit of the Antichrist has been at work in our world for over 2,000 years. And is it at work today? Absolutely. I do believe it is. So whether we're literally in what the Bible would call the end times or not, I do know this. The spirit of the end times is among us. The spirit of the Antichrist is stirring chaos, is stirring confusion. There's things that are happening. And in the book of Revelation, one of the first things that happens as end time events unfold is what is traditionally been called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These four horses with different riders begin to show up. And we kind of went through that in depth last week. I'm not going to do it today. The first one is a white horse. The white horse represented disruption and deception. The second horse was a red one, a fiery red one. And it literally says that horse came to take peace from the earth. I think a lot of us have felt that way. It's kind of like, boy, this is not a peaceful time. And then to make people kill each other, there's just been a spirit of violence and division, such strong division that's rose up in our world. And the red horse represented fear and violence. And then there was a black horse, and the black horse represented economic collapse. For a lot of us, this has been devastating times economically. Our jobs have been lost, or we haven't been paid, or we haven't been able to get that unemployment. Lots of things have happened. And then the third horse was a pale horse, and that pale horse brought sword, famine, and plague. Interesting, huh? disease and death is what the fourth horse represented. So I just want to make the proposition to you this morning that whether we're in the end times or not, we're experiencing the spirit of the end times. We're experiencing things that are probably a prelude, if you will, to the end times. And the end times may well be coming in the very near future. So our theme verse for these 2 weeks, and this is our final message in this series today of running with the horses, has been Jeremiah 12:5. And I love this verse. It says, if you're worn out in the foot race with men, what makes you think you can run against horses? And if you can't keep your wits during times of calm, what's going to happen when troubles break loose like the Jordan in flood? So it's interesting because this verse really gives us the sense, it kind of speaks to the sense or implies that you and I can and should be able to run with horses. Run with horses. I grew up around horses. My family at one time had 33 horses. I grew up, my first job was helping to care for the horses, feeding and watering the horses and doing all kinds of things. And I loved them. They're powerful, they're strong, they're fast. It kind of implies that we should be able to run with the horses. But I will tell you, to do that, you're going to need the Lord. You're going to need His supernatural strength, His power to really do that. But you can. And it's interesting, if you want to kind of rehearse and kind of get a sense of the end times, of the end times theology that the Apostle Paul particularly taught, then there's two short chapters found in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. And hopefully some of you read that this week after we kind of started the message last week. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, Paul kind of goes through some things. He talks about the possibility of what we call the rapture of the church, or the what we would kind of traditionally call the pre-trib rapture of the church, where the church gets taken away before the tribulation really comes big time. He talks about how to be encouraged. In fact, he tries to encourage people as the end times are coming. And then he kind of gives this checklist. It's very interesting. It's almost like an end times checklist. When the end times come, kind of make sure you're doing these 9 things. And I said to you last week, this is really important for us to learn this end times checklist, to begin to really make sure we're living it out. It's kind of simple and straightforward, but it's the stuff that we need to do if we're going to be ready for the day and the time I think we're living in. If you feel like the time that you're living in is outrunning you, here's a checklist for end time living. And we started last week here with run with covering. Because we're always better together. And God wants there to be spiritual authority in your life that helps guide you and helps cover you. Secondly, we talked about run with ministry. That the antidote of always needing ministry is to put yourself into a position to minister to others. Because God wants to use your life. Third, we talked about run with grace. We don't just give people what they deserve. We give people what they really need. And then number 4, we talked about run with joy. We only covered 4 last week. Joy is the determined choice to praise God in all things, even when life gets difficult. So this morning, I want to start here. Number 5, run with prayer. Here's another great verse for you to memorize today. You memorized one with us last week. Now you get another one today. This is pretty good. You guys are getting in a rhythm and a roll here, memorizing a verse of scripture every week. You ready? It's not very hard at all. Say it with me. Never stop praying. Let's say it again. Never stop praying. Some of you know it from just a 2-word version, right? Maybe a little more King James-ish. Pray continually. Pray continually. Some of you have actually asked, how in the world do you do that? How do you pray continually? How would I talk to people if I'm talking to God constantly? Some of you, quite honestly, you go, that's just impossible. I could never pray continually. I sit down to have a prayer time and it doesn't even last 5 minutes. How can I pray continually? And it really is about having your heart connected to God and making sure that connection remains through the day. I think it's really important how you start your day, because how you start your day is probably going to be how you live your day. So why do we pray? Is prayer moving God toward me, or is prayer God, is prayer moving me toward God? Let me say that again. Is prayer moving God toward me, or is it moving me toward God? I think it's absolutely the latter, the second. I need it daily. Because in all honesty, I've lived way long enough now to know that I can easily move away from God very quickly. My mind, my thoughts, my attitude, my disposition, it doesn't take much. Yesterday, my daughter was with me. I really blew it. I got tweaked out there. I got upset. I got frustrated. I kind of lost my cool. And my little daughter was there reminding me, Dad, you're not being very cool. You're being grumpy. You're being rude. I'm like, oh man, forgive me. Forgive me. It's amazing. Regardless of how long you've walked with God, how long you've known him, if you don't pray, if you don't keep your heart connected to him, you can drift so quickly. I can become so worldly, so fleshly, so quickly. I need to move toward God daily, even in those moments, instead of staying there and kind of doubling down in the flesh. I gotta pray. I gotta never stop praying. I gotta ask God to help me and forgive me in the midst of my flaws and my failures, which are many. So I gotta move toward God daily. Keep my heart connected to him so that when I do mess up, he can speak to me and say, you just messed up there, Jeff. And, I can get my heart back where it needs to be because I mess up just like maybe you guys do. In fact, I might mess up more than you guys do. I don't know. But I know this, I got to keep my heart connected to him. How many of you are hearing what I'm saying? Praying continually is remaining in a spirit of prayer, kind of a spirit of dependency upon the Father. Kind of say, just acknowledging that there's never a second or a moment of the day that I don't need God to be moving and working in my heart and my life. He's always there. I just got to keep connected to him. When I feel distant from him, it's never him that's moved. It's always me that's drifted off because of my actions or my thoughts or my attitudes, whatever it may be. And by the way, I'm legitimately, authentically concerned for you guys in the days that we're living in. I'm praying for you daily. It's part of my daily routine, my daily habit. I pray for you guys. I pray that you'd be safe and free from this COVID virus. I pray that you'd go deep in God. I pray that your family times would be rich. I pray God's blessings over you in this season. Now, let me tell you one thing about prayer. If you only pray when you're in an emergency, when you're in trouble, can I just tell you, you're already in trouble? If that's the only time you pray, is kind of like when you shoot up a 911 prayer, God, I am in desperate condition, send the ambulance right now or send the policeman right now. Prayer is not just for 911 moments. Prayer is a daily habit that you develop between you and God where you begin to live just in complete dependence upon him. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, I love this verse. It says, very early in the morning. Let me stop right there. Some of you just, you know, that wasn't exciting to you right there. Some of you are not morning people. Whatever's very early in the morning for you, okay? For some of us, very early in the morning, it's 5 o'clock. For some of us, it's 11 a.m. I don't know. But anyway, whatever's very early in the morning for you, while it was still dark, okay, you know, maybe your room darkening shades, it appears to still be dark. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The point here is Jesus prayed every day. Jesus started out his day in prayer. He got up. He found a quiet place where he could be all alone with his heavenly Father, and he connected with God's heart. I want you to try it this week. If you fell out of the routine or the rhythm, or maybe you've never established one, either reestablish or establish whatever's needed. No shame or guilt, by the way, if you fell off and you haven't been. Just get back in the groove of starting your day with God because it'll make the difference in the rest of the day. There's an old saying, by the way, maybe you've heard it, that goes like this, all's well that ends well. How many of you have heard that old phrase, all's well that ends well? Let me rephrase that for you. Think of it like this, would you? All's well that begins well. All's well that begins well. Okay? So the way you start your day is probably going to be the way you live your day. The way you start your day is probably going to have an absolute dramatic effect on the rest of your day. If you start it with God, you're going to find that God's with you through the day, that you're hearing His voice, that you're experiencing His presence, that you might even experience His leading. You might even see Him open doors. You're going to see things that you haven't seen before. Now, we've got a week of prayer and fasting coming up, October 30th. That whole week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., we'll be right here praying, have some beautiful worship music on, praying together, receiving communion together. Come out, be with us, start your day. Start your day. We're a church of prayer. We're a church that absolutely believes in prayer, and we're a church that absolutely puts prayer into practice. Because it isn't enough just to talk about it or say you believe in it. You got to put it into practice. Amen? So prayer, I love this, is the difference between the best I can do and the best God can do. I know this, I'm very, very limited. I have some gifts and talents, thank God, that have been invested in me. But I know one thing, there's a huge difference between what I can do and what God can do. And I really don't want to live a life that's only about the best I can do. I want to live a life that's about the best God can do. And that's going to absolutely require prayer. Prayer connects me to the power source of God. Number six, we got to run with gratitude. Run with gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be thankful in all circumstances. Now notice it doesn't say thankful for all circumstances. And that's key. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And the delineation I'm making here is that there's an enemy at work in the world today. By the way, if you take the enemy out of the equation, just a simple little thought for you here this morning. You know, hopefully everybody here understands and knows and believes that there is a real devil who really is about devious, deceptive things, who is working against anything of God. If you take the devil out of the equation, who are you going to blame for the evil? Who are you going to blame for the horrendous, random, horrible acts of violence that happen in this world? Well, God gets blamed. And I think that's absolutely the agenda and the plan of the enemy to bring harm and horrible things into this earth and then have God have to take responsibility for it all. There's an enemy at foot. In fact, in the Bible itself, he's called the God of this world. He's active in this world. So much of the horrible things, it's not the people who are at fault, it's the enemy behind them, the spirit behind them that are at fault. So listen to what it is. Be thankful in all circumstances. I'm not thankful when horrible things happen to people, when bad things happen to people. I'm not thankful for those things, but I'm thankful even in those things that there is a God who can bring about good, because He is so mighty and so awesome, and some of the good we will see on the other side of the equation, folks. Because I really believe this, He's just, and every wrong that happens on the face of this earth is ultimately going to be righted. He's a good God. And some of the injustices, the horrible, horrible injustices that have happened on this earth, we've not seen them righted yet, but we will one day. Because ultimate justice will prevail. I'm thankful for the blessings that I have. And having an attitude of gratitude, running with gratitude, I think is just so incredibly important. To be thankful for the blessings you have, not focused on the things you do not have. And this season has tested a lot of us in that, right? Wow, I can't go here. I can't do this. Tracy and I had been blessed. We'd literally won a all-expenses-free trip, free paid trip for pastors to Puerto Vallarta. Now, Tracy and I have been to Mexico many, many times. In fact, I'm going to guess we've been there 21 times to Mexico. Every time we've been to Mexico, it's been for ministry purposes. We've never been to the resort areas. I have no idea what Puerto Vallarta looks like, Cancun looks like, all Cabos looks like, except for what I've seen on TV. But I can tell you what the slums of Monterey look like, what the slums, the colonias, the poor, really poor colonias of Tampico look like, what the poor colonias of Juarez look like, what the poor outlying areas all around Mexico, Ciudad de Mexico, look like. I can tell you about Michoacan. I can tell you about Morelia. I can tell you about a lot of places, but I've never been to the beautiful places, and I know there are some. And we were excited. We were really excited. Thank you, Lord, for this. 277 pastors have been chosen from across the United States, and we were in that group, and it was awesome. We were going to stay at the Westin. The Westin's like my favorite hotel, too. It was just really cool. And then I just got the call just a week or so ago. Oh, by the way, that's been canceled, along with pretty much everything else, right? I mean, it's been a tough season. You know, you can't just get with people as readily as you'd like. You can't go to things as often as you would. Everything, there's been a lot of loss. Are we going to be grateful or grumpy in the midst of that? Are we going to be grateful or are we going to just, you know, grouse and be upset all the time? Let me tell you, the struggle begins to end the moment the gratitude begins. And one of the things I found that's so helpful for me is to focus on all the blessings I have, all the good things I have, because what I have is more than enough. And I know this so incredibly well, right? I've traveled to many, many third world countries. I have things that I possess and that I even have to spend time caring for and watching over that my friends in third world countries don't even know exist. They don't even know that that's a reality. They've never been to America. They've never experienced things like we have. Thankful for the blessings we have. There's blessings in this season, right? There's more time with family. There's more time to draw close to God. There's lots of good things. The key to contentment is to be happy with what you have, not what you don't have. But we live in a world that, buddy, I tell you, is all about stirring up the discontentment so that you just long for that next thing, whatever it is. And that next thing's only going to satisfy you for a short bit until the next thing comes down the pike, which is going to happen very soon. Run with gratitude. Number 7, run with discernment. There's a cool word, biblical word, not a word you hear a lot. Discernment. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 and 20 says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies. What is discernment? Discernment means you're going to see things differently than you're seeing things. You're not just going to take everything that comes your way at face value. There's going to be an insight that comes to your heart and your spirit that literally comes through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's still here on earth. Aren't you glad for that? We better draw close to Him and get to know Him very personally, because He's working in and through you and me. He's warning us. He's leading us. He's convicting us. He's showing us things we wouldn't normally see. Prophecy. What about that word? Some of you are like, I don't know. That kind of freaks me out. Prophecy is when God's telling us things through the Holy Spirit. It means that we're being spiritually in tune with God. And Paul's quick to say, don't stifle, don't quench, don't override, don't ignore the Holy Spirit's promptings. Have you learned? Are you learning? Do you desire to walk in constant communion with the Holy Spirit who is living in you, who's the very deposit of God within you? You know, I love to fly. I think we counted the other day. I think we've had 8 trips since the quarantine in February that have been canceled. I've flown many miles in my life. I think my one account alone has over 250,000 miles on it. But that would be just a small part of the flying that I've done in my life. I've had the privilege and the honor to go to over 40 countries to share the gospel. And I've been on many, many, many flights on lots of different airlines and lots of different countries. And one of the things, if you fly much, that you will experience at some point is you'll take off in the rain when it's very cloudy, kind of like what it was like out there this morning. How many of you noticed all the fog out there? It was a froggy morning, wasn't it? I mean, it was thick out there, kind of like pea soup out there. Driving to church this morning, can't even see very far ahead. It just was really foggy. And sometimes you'll take off in the plane, and it's really foggy, and it's rainy, and there's just cloud banks, and you're like, wow, this is messy. This is just kind of nasty weather. And, you know, you get going and down the runway, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's that wonderful aerodynamic thing that happens. The plane begins to lift, and it begins to go. And before long, this breakthrough happens where the plane literally ascends to the place that it leaves behind the clouds and the rain, and it breaks through the clouds to the sunshine. You ever had that happen? If you've flown much, you probably have. And all of a sudden, you're looking out the window and you're going, what happened to all that rain? What happened to all those clouds? Man, look at that sun. It's beautiful. It's shining brightly. How many of you saw the sun a couple of nights ago? It looked like a pink, fiery ball in our sky. It was amazing. And that's the breakthrough that happens many times when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and you begin to see things differently. Instead of just being so caught up in the clouds and the rain, now all of a sudden you see a different perspective. It's like ascending through that cloud bank. Let me just tell you one of the reasons I believe we're knocking at the door of the end times. I didn't mention this earlier, but one of the horses, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, says that there's going to be violence and a quarter of the people of the earth will be killed through that violence. One, I don't think we're totally there yet because that hasn't happened. Thank God. That would be nearly 2 billion people. But one of the reasons I think we're getting really close, and I want you to hear this morning. I didn't put it on the screen, but I want you to hear this because this is incredibly encouraging. Some of you, you know, I love missions. I love missiology. Listen to this. More people have come to Christ, to a genuine saving relationship with Jesus Christ in the past 40 years than in the combined 1,970 years prior. So since the time of Jesus walking on this earth, giving his life for you and I, more people have come to know him in the last 40 years. That's in the time I've been alive and on this earth than in the past 1,970 years prior. Come on, give the Lord praise for that. You ought to. That's awesome. It's amazing stuff. What's that say? That says God is working in the earth. Despite the chaos and the confusion, there is worldwide evangelism. There is revival. There is a move of God afoot. You may not see it or experience it as fully here in the United States, and that's sad. There's reasons for that. But the gospel is moving forward at an unprecedented pace, and the end is drawing near. Matthew 24:14 says this, and this gospel will be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. We're getting close. Amen, Cody and Heather? We're getting close. It's exciting times. Look at this verse, Luke 21:28. When these things begin to take place, go back and read that chapter, by the way. Stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Look, it doesn't say when these things begin to take place, these end time events begin to unfold. It doesn't say, you know, cower down and be afraid and be anxious. No, it says lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. It's an exciting time to be alive. Amen, church? I want to be a part of the end time harvest. I want to be a part of making a difference. I want to be a part of reaching people and the last peoples, if you will. He doesn't say freak out. He says, no, lift your heads and get excited because Jesus is coming. If you want to keep up with the horses, you've got to be a discerning person. You've got to go through life looking up, not just looking around. Number 8, you got to run with wisdom. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, 22, test everything that's said. Hold on to what's good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Test what is good. Don't react to everything. Test it. Hold on to the good. Spit out the bones, the evil, the wrong. Proverbs 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Some of you get tripped up on that fear of the Lord concept. Listen, God's bigger, God's greater than you and I. He's in control. And listen, one of the things that'll help you in this season is worship. When you really take time to worship Him, find that song, man, that just takes you into the holy place. And make that a part of your morning time with God. In fact, I want to give you a challenge. I want to make it a little more practical to you. If you haven't done this or you're not doing this, listen, five and five. I'm just asking you for 3 sets of 5 minutes each, okay? This week with God, 3 things for 5 minutes each. 5 minutes in God's word, 5 minutes in prayer, and 5 minutes in worship. If you'll just take that challenge and make that a part of your everyday routine, maybe you already are. Maybe you spend an hour with God. Good for you. I'm happy about that. That's great. Maybe this sounds elementary to you, but wherever you are, start somewhere if you haven't. And start investing in and building a time with God. 5 minutes in God's word, 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in worship, and watch the difference it makes. Here's what Billy Graham said. Knowledge is horizontal, but wisdom is vertical. It comes down from above. You want wisdom in this day and time? You want to be a discerning person? Listen to God. Connect with God. And then lastly, run with vision. Run with vision. I love the word vision. See, ministry is all about others, but vision is all about you. Let me say that again. Ministry is all about others, but vision's all about you. God has a vision for you. God has a very personal vision. You are called. You have a heavenly destiny. God wants to work in you. And then when you receive that, when you accept that, when you embrace that, He wants to work through you to minister to others. One of the things through thick and thin over these past 30 years for Tracy and I that's kept us going, and we've had many, many hard seasons. Pastor Bert joked with me this week. He said, you're a colander. I said, what? He said, you're a colander. He said, a colander is when, you know, you've got stabbed in the back so many times, you're a colander. I felt that way at times. But one of the things that's kept me going is my calling, Rehearsing that, remembering that. This past week, my wife wanted me to sneak her away for a night to Brown County, Indiana. I love Brown County, Indiana. Just a neat little getaway, about an hour and a half up the road. And in fact, it's a place that has incredible significance to me. Because when I was a young person, probably 17 years old, I went to a youth camp. It was one of my first youth camps at Brown County, Indiana. And 2 incredibly powerful things happened during that week of camp. One, I was overwhelmed with just a sense of brokenness and repentance before God. And number 2, I absolutely heard and sensed my very first call of God in my life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. Holy, by the way, is the word hagios. And it doesn't mean perfect, it means set apart. May God set you apart in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen. For He who calls you is faithful. Some of you are being called by God, but you haven't responded yet. Some of you are being called by God. You're sensing, if you be honest, if you'll just be real with God, you know it, you sense it. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in, what stage of life you're in. Some of you, there is a call of God, and you just really need to say from your heart of hearts, yes, whatever you have for me, God, whatever you have for me. Listen, there's only one who will say ultimately to you and I, well done, good and faithful servant. See, we don't just need something to live on. We need something to live for. Something that gets us up in the morning. Something that we go to bed at night dreaming about. Something that breaks our heart, that excites us. Something that fills us with passion and life. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today as we close our time together? I want you to remember these things and hold on to them in these days ahead. Run with covering, run with ministry, run with grace, run with joy, run with prayer, run with gratitude, run with discernment, wisdom, and vision. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment? If there's any one of you here today or one of you possibly watching, viewing today that hasn't made Jesus Lord of your life, you can do that right now. And it'd be the best step you've ever taken in your life. If you pray with me wherever you are right now and just say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me for my sins and be my Lord from this day forward. God will hear you. God will answer you. And you need to let somebody know you just prayed that prayer. For the rest of us in the room, I just want to pray over us a covering and a blessing in these days. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. For these precious people, may they run with all these things we've talked about, covered by you, blessed by you, with real vision, with real passion and purpose, clinging to you day in and day out with gratitude through prayer, that they would be the people you've called them to be. They'd live out their days for your glory and praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise this morning? All right, well, we are not over here today. We have some very special people in our midst that we want to pray over as we close today. Zach and Ada, please come up, and a few of our team members. I see Burton Carr and Dawn and Eric and Tracy, would you come? And let's all gather right up here, if we would, over on this side of the platform. And this is Zach and Ada's last Sunday with us. They are moving to Pennsylvania. They're about to be the proud parents of their first beautiful child. We're excited about that. Zach has served faithfully for the last 5 years as our youth pastor. Give them a good hand. They have served diligently. Thank you all for the incredible way you guys have sown into our young people, our kids, our youth. We are so thankful for both of you and the time we've had with you guys. And we want to send them out. Would you stand with me just... if you don't mind, if it wouldn't bother you, just stretch your hands out toward these guys, kind of as a point of contact. Just, man, I'm praying for those guys. So we're going to pray over them. Father, I just ask your blessing on this precious couple, on this precious baby. Lord, on their future, on the path ahead, on the things that you have for them, God. Lord, you have called them, you have chosen them. They have served you diligently, and Lord, their heart is to serve you. So, Lord, go before them. Open doors of opportunity. Bless this next season in their lives for your glory. Thank you, God, for the way they have poured into our young people and our kids. And, Lord, I know those seeds will continue to bring forth a great harvest for years to come. Bless Zach and Ada in Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen. 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 Give them another good hand, would you? Love you guys very, very much. Hey, as we leave today... there is cake and punch back there. No, cupcakes and punch. So you can just take one and run. You can also, Zach and Ada, please go back there. And you guys might want to come up and give them a little, you know, a little air high five and thank them. And you got to try some of Betty's famous punch back there. So Lord, go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming.